Thanks for joining me, folks, on a Wednesday edition of Locked On Jaguars. I'm Tony Wiggins, and let's just get right to it. Today's show is going to be a crossover episode. That's right. It's what we do typically on Wednesdays of game week. We have the we go behind enemy lines. I'm going to have Ryan Tracy and Chris Clark on in the second and third episodes, where we do a little bit of a joint show here. And the opening week of the NFL, we've partnered with Mack Weldon, okay, and they're brought to you by Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon is a premium men's essentials brand that believes in smart design and premium fabrics. Mack Weldon is better than whatever you're wearing right now. That's right. The promo code of Locked On gets you 20% at MackWeldon.com. So go over to Mack Weldon and check them out, man. So yeah, we're going to do a crossover episode of Locked On Jaguars here. And it's going to be a lot of fun for us because we get a chance to basically get behind enemy lines and talk to what's going on with those guys. And we get a chance to tell their fan base what's going on with us, so you can have a good idea of what to expect as the regular season starts this Sunday at TIA Bank Field. Now, we do have to mention that we don't know what type of precipitation is going to fall, so we don't know what the conditions will be for the field at the stadium, because most of you know, because you're right involved in it, and this is the Jaguars fan base, of course. We got this storm a little bit later than we thought. We thought this storm would come and go and be gone by Thursday, but it appears that most of the damage from the storm will come Wednesday and Thursday and linger around and maybe start pushing out of here about Friday. So we have to really wait and see what effect that has on the field. But in terms of the game, man, I'm super, super excited to see what these teams can do, especially Jacksonville, man, because all the talk right now is about the Jaguars' defense matching up against that Chiefs' offense. And the unknown factor is the Jacksonville offense having to match up against the Chiefs' defense. Two new coordinators, John DeFilippo and Coach Spagnuolo for Kansas City, and Kansas City is moving from that 3-4 to a 4-3. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see what exactly happens in that area. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun, and people are just absolutely happy that football is back, man, because we've been waiting a pretty long time around here. It seems like whenever the season ends, you wait a long time before you're able to get real football. And preseason comes and everybody gets excited about preseason. But then all of a sudden, man, it's just like, okay, after that first preseason game and maybe a little bit of the third preseason game, you're like, let's just get on with it already. I want the regular season to come back, and I want the season to start. Another reason why, I'll tell you this right now, another reason why we really like football back, everybody likes to make a wager. Everybody likes to gamble a little bit. So, hey, I know where I go when I want to spend my money. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. And what I'm talking about is my bookie. That's where I go. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Let's face it, when you're betting, it's just as important as who you're betting on. You know, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. Did you know you could bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. That's right. You can flip and hedge your bets right smack in the middle of your game if it's not going that way for you. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winners, and no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. Join now, and MyBookie will double your first deposit. That's right. You've heard me say that before. I'm going to tell you again. They'll double your first deposit. You got to use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid. So the crossover edition of this show is next. If you're about to enjoy that, what I need you to do, if you're hungry, if you just got off of work, you can join DoorDash. You need to call DoorDash right now and get your food ready. If you call DoorDash right now, you can actually have food delivered to your door. That's right. How do you do that? Hey, man, when you have a long day at work or you've been stuck at the office, you just open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered to you, wherever you are. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off of their first order, or $15 or more. When you order $15 or more, you get $5 off. Download the DoorDash app and enter that same promo code that's locked on. All right, man, get ready. We're going to go ahead and get you into this podcast that we did with Ryan Tracy and Chris Clark on the Locked On Chiefs Network. Stay tuned and stand by for what I had. I had a great time doing this podcast. You guys stand by. Welcome to a Wednesday crossover edition of Locked On Jaguars and Locked On Chiefs. I'm joined by Ryan Tracy and Chris Clark from Locked On Chiefs. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Jacksonville offense against the Jacksonville defense. I'm sorry, the Kansas City defense. I know everybody wants to look at the other matchup. I think this one is very intriguing, though, and will have a lot to say about how this game goes. One thing I can point out right away is this. I don't know what they're going to do. And no one knows what Jacksonville's offense is going to look like because they're two new coordinators and they totally revamped the offense here in Jacksonville, and they've totally revamped from a 3-4 to a 4-3 in Kansas City. In terms of what Jacksonville has to offer, and I'll bring Ryan and CeCe in just a second. What Jacksonville has to offer is this. Nick Foles, he's a proven Super Bowl champion, a winner. Maybe it doesn't knock you out when you look at his overall skills, but you can't argue with a guy who knows how to play in the playoffs. You just can't fuss around with that. Considering that Blake Bortles was the quarterback here for 5 years, this is a major upgrade, and we've really, really noticed it, guys, in practice here.
Well, we're a little familiar with that guy ourselves. Was here for quite a bit and has a lot of ties back to the Kansas City organization and Coach Reed and their staff. My big question for you is, how much are they putting on him? Do they need him to be a guy that can sling it, and does he have the weapons to do so?
Well, here's the thing. That's a very, very good question. In terms of how much they're putting on him, they want him to really manage the game. They're not a Blake Bortles type manage the game. They put a lot on him in terms of, okay, he's allowed to tell them what plays that he's comfortable with, the things that he can do. Because him and DeFilippo go back to Philadelphia, the thing is he has a lot of input, probably more than you would expect the quarterback to have. He's almost like a coach on the field, gets him in and out of good plays. He lets them know what he's comfortable with doing. In terms of his weapons, look, man, this is a developmental room here with these wide receivers. Apparently, the alpha right now is D.D. Westbrook, former Biletnikoff winner from your neck of the woods out there in Big 12 country that I know you guys are familiar with. But after that, man, Chris Conley, a guy that played 75% of the snaps in Kansas City last year, he's over here. He's a big physical target, as you all know. But right now, that's it. Those are the two main guys that they're going to be trying to throw the ball to. They're going to use a three wide receiver set most of the time with a single running back. Or if they go with 12 personnel, they'll have two tight ends. And they're going to throw the ball a lot to Leonard Fournette out of the backfield. It's a management situation, but they're going to allow him to be a little bit more aggressive and throw the ball deep downfield. They didn't allow Bortles to do any of that stuff.
Well, and you look at the change from Bortles to Nick Foles, and you're right, he is a Super Bowl winner. I do think that's going to be a step up in the right direction. The question I have to you is, Kansas City's defensive line is going to put pressure on the QB. How is Jacksonville's offensive line look this preseason? And is that going to be a key matchup to you? Because to me, looking at Frank Clark and Chris Jones on the same defensive line has got to worry most offensive coordinators.
Chris Jones definitely scares me on the interior because even though Brandon Linder is a proven guy, he's one of the highest paid centers in the league. From the center moving out to the left tackle, those guys all missed time last year. Brandon Linder missed about half the season. Kevin Norwell, who was the highest paid guard in the league last year, missed a majority of the season. And then pretty much all of the season, Cam Robinson, the third year player out of Alabama, who's at left tackle. We haven't seen him. They chose not to play these guys in the preseason except the third game, which is a dress rehearsal game. And they were pretty vanilla in their approach. So we really, really have not seen them play. On the right side, I think they're going to start a second-year guy in Will Richardson out of NC State. And then the right tackle looks like the rookie from Florida, Juwan Taylor, is going to be the one. So I'm a little bit concerned with that middle with Chris Jones able to get so much pressure up the middle. And then with Frank Clark being 9-wide coming on the outside, if they can get Foles to hold onto the ball a little bit longer than he's accustomed to, I noticed in the preseason he doesn't really move well when his feet aren't set. He doesn't throw well when his feet aren't set. That's a little bit of a concern for me, and it's a very, very big concern for Jacksonville with those guys in this new 4-3.
Well, and I like how you talked about the interior three, because I think that's definitely a strength of this offensive line when I look at them. But it all comes back to me about what are they doing with Leonard Fournette? How much are they going to feed him? And where is he mentally at this point going into week one?
I'm not one of those guys that were really, really hard on him with some of the things that he did last year. Most of you guys probably know the Jacksonville Jaguars kind of filed to avoid the guarantees in his contract because of some things that they considered to be immaturity problems. When he fought Lawson, the outside linebacker for Buffalo last year, none of his teammates were angry at him. None of them were. He was defending one of their guys, and he got into a fight. Now, in the media, we look at it and say, well, you got to be better than that because he got suspended in a game that they were winning. And then once he got suspended, they end up losing the game. So I think he's fine. He went to Wyoming, of all places, to go work out with his former strength and conditioning coach from LSU, who's now at Wyoming. He went up in the mountains, man, and did his thing and worked out. He came back in here in the best shape he's been in a while. He's looked really, really fast in practice. For a team that wants to avoid a guy's contract and or avoid his guarantees, they didn't keep a lot of stuff behind him. Rockwell Armstead, fifth round pick out of Temple, is the backup. They got Alfred Blue, who's hurt and he's on IR. The other two running backs are guys that they claimed off the waiver wire the other day. So this is going to be a Leonard Fournette situation where they're going to be very dependent on a guy who really hasn't completed seasons. He's hurt some three games, I believe two or three games his rookie year, and then he missed a bunch of games last year with a hamstring. I think he's going to touch it 20, 25 times a game. Some of those touches will come in the passing game.
Well, you mentioned Fournette and coming in the passing game. Where do you think that Jacksonville is going to attack this Chiefs defense? As you said, it is a new 4-3. If you were their offensive coordinator, how would you attack it? Because you look at what they did last year, and they really struggled against the run, but I think they're going to be stronger there this year.
Yeah, I do think they're going to be stronger. I think they're going to probably attack them in the middle of the field. And I know Tyrann Mathieu is you know, the honey badger. He's a good player. But it seems like last year at some point the Chiefs were struggling in the middle of the field. And the Jaguars are familiar with them because they played them two out of the last 3 years, I believe. I know they played them last year, and I believe they came to Arrowhead a couple of years ago when Chris Ivory was on the team. So for me, it's just a matter of testing this whole thing out in the middle of the field where to see if those linebackers have adjusted from being in a 3-4 to now being in a 4-3. I also think they're going to run the ball some because as good as Jacksonville's defense is, and I know we'll talk about that in a few minutes, you don't want to keep giving the Chiefs offense chances after chance after chance. You can wear a good defense out with good offense and keep them on the field. I think the Jaguars are going to try to control the ball a little bit to limit the opportunities that Patrick Mahomes has.
I think that'll certainly help them if they get the chance to hold on to that ball. Well, I think we'll take our break, folks. We'll come back. We'll flip it. We'll talk about Mahomes and the offense versus this Jacksonville defense, and I'm pretty intrigued by it.
So am I, man. I'm looking forward to getting into that because this is going to be the stuff that makes this game for us. Ryan Tracy and Chris Clark from Locked On Chiefs, along with Tony Wiggins for Locked On Jaguars. We'll take a break.
So as we get into the other side of the ball, this defense in particular, and one guy that stands out, Jalen Ramsey, we're hearing he's going to travel with Tyreek Hill. Is that a good idea?
I think it is. I think it's what people have been asking for. I was one of those guys in the offseason that said move him to free safety because there were too many games here last year. People were saying that Jalen didn't play well. I don't necessarily agree with that last year. I just think sometimes, unless it was DeAndre Hopkins, the other teams weren't willing to engage. They say, okay, you want to go over there on that one side? We'll go over here on this side and we'll go attack. They're in the nickel most of the time. So we'll try to attack, the linebackers because you got two guys guarding all of his space. We'll try to attack the linebackers or we'll go over here, whoever's playing right cornerback because AJ Bouye had missed some time last year with some injuries. So there were a lot of times that Jalen was silent, but it was only because people just refused to engage. The only time he was really engaged is when you got quarterbacks that have stones like Ben Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers. Those guys aren't going to back down from anybody. Tom Brady even you know, tried that. Of course they're going to do it because they think they can complete passes against anybody. But I think folks around here were constantly saying we need Jalen Ramsey to follow the team's best receiver. Now, look, we didn't really like the fact that he was playing in a shell. But when you talk about Tyreek, D-Hop, Emmanuel Sanders, Mike Thomas, D-Hop again, T.Y. Hilton, Mike Evans, Keenan Allen, A.B., and Julio Jones, that's who he has to play this year. So it's going to be – if he can negate the best player on the other team, that's going to bode real, real well for the Jaguars.
We in Kansas City have been seeing so much about the shady signing that just happened and how that's another weapon in the quiver of the ace archer that we have in Mahomes. But Jacksonville is not going to just lay down for these guys. And I feel like the Jalen Ramsey part is one aspect of it, but the rest of the defense, how is that front looking right now? Because I think pressure on Mahomes is going to be what's going to be key.
Man, it is going to be key, man. Let me tell you how this thing is looking. Like I said, we haven't seen much of him play. But when we did, this rookie out of Kentucky, Josh Allen, who fell to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And by the way, you guys are in the AFC West. When y'all run into Mike Mayock, tell him he was crazy for not taking that kid and taking that kid for Clemson. Because this dude looks like Godzilla, bro. He's every bit of 6'5". He's about 272, 275. He has that Myles Garrett-type body. He was a stand-up outside linebacker in Kentucky, and he's looked fabulous so far. And in the dress rehearsal game, he was all over the field. He was the talk of the entire game. So what they have to do, he's not a starter per se. They're going to go with Calais Campbell at left end, Yannick Ngakoue at right end, and that's usually 23, 24 sacks right there. Marshall Darius is a three technique, and Avery Jones will line up at nose guard. Now, what the Jaguars want to do, they really, really want to get they want to have success defensively on first down. Because if you have success and you create a better down and distance situation, now you come in with the lineup you really want, and you pull Avery Jones out, you move Calais Campbell inside in your lightning package, and now you have Josh Allen on one side, Yannick Ngakoue on the other, and that's dangerous, dangerous, dangerous for anybody.
Well, and you start talking about the defensive line that the Jaguars have that is going to be a big test for Kansas City. The one key difference that I've seen so far, or from what you've said, is that Kansas City played its offensive line pretty much the entire preseason all together. And I do think chemistry does matter. I think that's going to help a little bit. But you get past that side of it and you start looking at the Chiefs offense and the different weapons that they have going against this defense. You know, yes, you have Tyreek Hill, and we've kind of already talked about Tyreek Hill versus Jalen Ramsey. But how is Jacksonville going to stand up against Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce? You know, and then you still have Damien Williams and LeSean McCoy as well.
Two first-time starters at safety. Barry Church and Tashawn Gibson are gone. You got Jared Wilson, and then you have a second-year player, Harrison out of Alabama. How they guard the middle of the field combined with the fact that Miles Jack, even though he's a fast linebacker and just got a big contract extension the other day, they have always struggled to me guarding tight ends and guarding the shallow middle of the field. I don't know who they're going to put on Kelce. If you have trouble guarding the middle of the field, then Travis Kelce and maybe George Kittle are the two people you absolutely do not want to see. That's going to be critical, man, because if they can't stop Travis Kelce, and then that starts opening things up where you can take a deep shot to Sammy Watkins, who I don't think they fear that much. I think it's all about Tyreek and how they get him the ball. How do you get Tyreek Hill the ball behind the line of scrimmage where he turns into a punt returner? One thing the Jacksonville Jaguars do really, really well is tackle. This team is built with a bunch of fast, athletic, open field tacklers. The secondary is very long, and they're all very fast. So it's going to be critical. The running backs coming out of the backfield, especially now with Shady, that's going to be another thing that's going to test these linebackers to see Quinnen Williams' little brother is starting at weak side linebacker, by the way. He's a rookie. That's where I think you're going to see Andy Reid dial some stuff up to see if the rookie's up to speed.
I think that's a good spot. And we talked about the safeties. So clearly that's an aspect I'm sure the Chiefs are looking at. Uh-huh. But opposite Ramsey, who are the other corners that are going to play in here? I know you have some young developmental guys, but who's looking like they're going to play opposite Ramsey?
Well, it's going to be A.J. Bouye, who they gave a massive contract to a couple of years ago from Houston. Played really, really well at a really an all-pro level. And I think he did make the Pro Bowl, him. And it was talked that they were the best duo in the land. However, last year, Bouye was slowed down by a few injuries, some soft tissue injuries. But he's better now, so he's back. He's one of the best corners in the AFC South. The nickel is DJ Hayden, who everybody knows him as a first-round pick, a top 11 pick that didn't pan out in Oakland. But quite naturally, DJ Hayden is one of the top graded, and I don't really do Pro Football Focus that much, but he's one of the top graded nickel corners, and he played really, really well last year. So I think they're fine in the first three corners, and I think they'll be fine at safety. Jarrett Wilson and Harrison, they're both like 6'3". They're 6'2", 6'3", so they're very, very long, fast, and athletic. But it's going to be a challenge. Anytime you play somebody who can – Patrick Mahomes can throw that thing without his feet being set. It's just going to be a tremendous challenge for this team. But this is the money matchup that everybody wants to see. They want to see who's going to fold. If I'm scared about anything, it's the fact that these guys have not played a lot in the preseason.
Well, did you look at that, the fact that they haven't played a lot in the preseason? You've kind of already talked about the defensive line that's going to be going up against the Chiefs. You know, one thing that we are not going to see this year is Kareem Hunt, obviously, in the backfield, but Damian Williams stepped into that role last year and did a very good job. What do you think that they're going to be doing and looking to do when he is in the game and when Shady's in the game? Because Shady is great at receiving the ball out of the backfield, but Williams can do that as well. Are you thinking that Kansas City is going to run the ball much, or are you thinking that they're going to be passing most of the game?
I think they're going to, whenever you have a quarterback like Mahomes, I think you have to give it to him and you got to let him throw it, man. You got to let him do what he does. But in the past, the way teams have sort of beat up on Jacksonville when Jacksonville wasn't playing well, it was running. They did it last year at Dallas. Zeke did it, and Zeke will do that to a lot of people. But teams have had some success running the ball against the Jacksonville Jaguars because they don't want to feed into the strength of the team, which is dropping back, taking 5 and 7 step drops and letting those guys eat on you and then throwing into that defensive backfield that in 2017, the Jaguars scored so – they had one game where they had 11 sacks against Houston. And they it seemed like every other week they were scoring a touchdown defensively, but they had to because of the inept play of Blake Bortles. But that's the thing. It's going to be very, very interesting. I think it's the other matchup. And the other matchup in terms of what field position does the Chiefs defense and the Jaguars offense leave the other unit from their own team that's going to determine that.
It'll definitely be interesting to see. I think we can boil it down. And, folks, we'll have our predictions on Friday for the preview show. But, Tony, I want to ask you, how do you see this game working out? Do you have a prediction?
I try not to get into it because it's a fan side. This is one of the games though, I'll be honest with you. I kind of mark this off as a loss. I think the Chiefs are a very, very good team. Now the Jacksonville Jaguars opened last year with New England and they beat them. They beat the Patriots. They beat Tom Brady in what people thought was a revenge game from the championship game the year before. There's not that built-in vitriol for Kansas City, though, because, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars feel like they got cheated the year before, so they were motivated and everybody was looking forward to that game. But it's a little bit scary. I think what people want to see, that it's the fear of the unknown. People want to see a competitive team, and people want to see that if the Chiefs get out and they're able to score some points, they still want to see big chunk plays on the offense, and that's what we haven't had here in a long time. They want to see competency. They want to see the type of game Kansas City played last year in the regular season when they went to New England. I think it was last year, the year before, when Kareem Hunt was a rookie. You want to see two teams go up and down the field and give hope that there's at least competency, Ryan, because for the most part, it was always just hold them to 17 points, Blake, and we'll beat them. Just that's what it's been. But now I think it's a little bit different.
Well, I think there's a lot of potential there, and I'm looking forward to it, folks. Let us know what you think. Follow both of these shows, and we'll have more all week long on both sides of this conversation. Follow up at Locked On Jaguars as well as Locked On Chiefs. We look forward to it. Thanks for the time, Tony.
Hey, Ryan and Chris, man, it was fun, and I look forward to listening to you guys for the rest of the season.
Good luck, folks. Stay dry out there if you can. Enjoy the game.